following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We get a lot of tweets from folks that sound just like this. Jay, I bought my home in 2007. Since then, it's gone down in value. Now I owe more on my mortgage than my home is worth. Can I refinance? The answer may very well be yes. Recently, the government announced changes that may allow folks to refinance even if their home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you. Or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, you've got to give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg. Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev. Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on the program today for our annual Husker Roundtable. That'll be coming up in the next segment. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock, Hale Varsity, Sean Callahan of Husker Online will join us for a discussion about Nebraska football, what they think happened with the Huskers this year. Good, positive, indifference, staying where they were. Did they make progress? Did they lose? Were they just kind of the same spot that they were? What 2013 looks like, where the recruits are coming from, where the strengths are, where the weaknesses are. And if you've got a question for our roundtable, please Facebook us or email us, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Facebook is Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation. So that's coming up. Plus, we've got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia that we'll be doing later on in the program as well. $25 gift card to Troutman's. And your thoughts on last night's national championship game. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Here's what I'll say. A couple of observations. And then I'll leave it up to you guys. I'm sure Damon and Son are crushed. Irish Ken hasn't got out of the basement yet. I hope he has a whole supply of Hot Pockets to get him through the next couple of weeks. It's just, I thought Notre Dame looked scared and intimidated. You could tell that kind of coming out onto the field, the way that they played early. And I will take some solace with you, Notre Dame fan, that yeah, that was a horrible call on the fair catch interference, whether there was any fair catch or not. That was just a horrible call that may have at least for a while stemmed the tide. Momentum's a crazy thing. Notre Dame should have had the football inside the 20-yard line with a chance to tie the ball game at 7-7. Whether they would have or not, I don't know. If they would it have made a difference? We know it would have been 7-7. I think the difference it would have made is it would have still been a football game, probably at halftime. Even if Alabama was up two scores, you at least are still in the ballpark coming out of the locker room. I mean, let's face it, Notre Dame going to the locker room knew that thing was over. Everybody knew it was over. But if it's a 14-point game, 10-point game, even if you're behind, at least you still have a chance. And as a coaching staff, you can still sell that chance. But boy, I thought Notre Dame sure looked intimidated, and Alabama did not, and maybe that had something to do with just being there before. And Alabama sure looked like they'd been there before. So there you go. 888-455-ESPN. If you've got a quick comment, we can get you in here in the next few minutes on last night's national championship game, the coverage thereof, and anything else that had to go along with it. So 888-455-ESPN. All you have to do is give us a buzz, or you can shoot us an email on the program today as well. Love to hear from you. Nebraska finishes 23rd in the coaches' poll, 25th in the AP poll. I guess the bottom line is Nebraska finishes ranked, and that means you can start another streak of, you know, hey, Nebraska was in the final poll for X number of years, you hope. Why Michigan is ranked ahead of Nebraska, I don't know. In the AP poll, they are not. In the coaches poll, Northwestern, because they had one less loss, they're 10-3. They are 8 spots higher than Nebraska in the AP poll at 17, and they are 16th in the coaches poll, 7 spots higher. And that's what winning a bowl game as opposed to losing a bowl game in a championship game will do for you. Kansas State, boy, they got no love. They went from number 1 in the country to number 11 and number 12. But Alabama number 1 and Ohio State did not get a first place vote. And after the dominating performance by Alabama last night, I can see why. But still, they did lose a game to Texas A&M, who was placed 5th. Stanford right behind them. But Ohio State was actually ranked ahead of Notre Dame in the AP Top 25. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? Should that have been that way? Should Ohio State been ranked ahead of Notre Dame? I don't know. I can see an argument on both sides. If you're not going to vote Ohio State number 1, then I can't see how you vote them ahead of Notre Dame. I guess that would be the way I would see it. But Alabama number 1, then Oregon, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Georgia, and Texas A&M tied for 5th in the AP poll, and they were 4th and 5th with Ohio State not eligible for the coaches poll. Stanford was 7th, South Carolina 8th, Florida 9th, and Florida State was placed 10th. Teams that were rated ahead of Nebraska this year in the final poll that were not from a major BCS conference: Louisville, 13th, Utah State, 16th, Boise State, 18th, San Jose State, 21st, and Northern Illinois, 22nd. Again, I'm sure Nebraska fan would take their shot at any of those football teams, although Louisville looked pretty good and they still were rated behind Florida and they have identical records. So it just once again shows you that the people aren't paying attention past number 1, 2, and 3 when it comes to voting for these polls, because why would you have Louisville behind? I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure everybody still thinks Florida is a better football team than Louisville, but it doesn't matter. That's what it all comes down to. Nebraska ranked 23rd and 25th to end the season. So that's what we've got with the Huskers, and that's what we'll have going into 2013, where, again, one of those very early prognostications, and I'm sure ESPN by this afternoon will have one up if they don't have it up already, a preseason look at the top 10 for or top 25 for next year. But expect Nebraska to be right around number 20 in that preseason spring-type poll, and then right around that 18 to 20, I think, when the fall poll comes out. So that's what we've got going on. One other thing I thought that Husker fans would find interesting: our folks, friends at Sportsbook, have put out the odds to win the 2013 Heisman Trophy. Johnny Manziel, the defending champion, is your favorite at 6-1. Braxton Miller, quarterback Ohio State, and Aaron Murray, quarterback Georgia, are the second favorites at 10-1. Alabama quarterback A.J. McCarron, Marquise Lee, one of the top 5 or 6 vote getters, the wide receiver from USC this past year, he's 12-1. So's Jadeveon Clowney, the defensive man, the big stud who had the hit against Michigan. Nebraska fans know a little bit about him, 12-1. And yes, Taylor Martinez is on the list at 25-1. And then they have a couple of guys behind him, Brett Hundley of UCLA and Kadeem Carey from Arizona. So that's where your Heisman odds are going into next year. What do you think? The quarterback from Northern Illinois, Jordan Lynch, is 20-1. Everett Golston, the quarterback from Notre Dame, 20-1. I'll take Taylor over both of those. Interesting, though. Who's got a better chance to win it? Defense, Jadeveon Clowney, South Carolina, or Taylor Martinez? What do you think, Husker fan? 888-455-ESPN. Or, of course, you can fire off an email to us as well. And there is already how 2013 should look. And in this one from USA Today, Nebraska is 10th. They say an experienced offense led by Taylor Martinez will be unstoppable throughout the regular season. While the season ended poorly this year, the Huskers are close to breaking out of their four-loss rut. Unfortunately, the defense won't be able to stop Ohio State when push comes to shove. So they are saying that Nebraska could win all but the Ohio State game in the regular season, get to that championship game. Where do they have Michigan? Scan and see where they have Michigan. Number one they have is Alabama. Number two, Ohio State, Stanford, Oregon, Florida. So that's what they've got there. They have Notre Dame at number eight in their preseason poll. Boise State's 11th. Texas A&M, they have 15th, which I think a lot of people won't agree with. A lot of people think Texas A&M will start next year in the top five. Other Big Ten teams, Northwestern 22nd, and they have Kansas State 25th. They don't even have Michigan in there, huh? Wow. That's a little bit of a surprise, because I think most of the Big Ten people think it's going to be Michigan maybe favored ahead of Nebraska. We'll find out how that all breaks down. So there you go. And thanks, Trent, by the way, for the update. Trent says, is this being too optimistic or just right? I don't know, folks. I think that would be optimistic, because I think if Nebraska started at number 10 and went undefeated into the Ohio State game, theoretically, they could suffer a loss and still have a chance, maybe outside of the national championship game, but definitely a BCS game. So there you go. What do we got here, Jeffrey? This is from Adam Rittenberg, yep. His early Big Ten power rankings for 2013. Well, he's drunk. He's got Ohio State number one. He's got Northwestern second. Then Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Man. I don't know. I think Devin Gardner looked pretty good once they got him in there, taking over for Denard Robinson, and they've got some good kids coming in. Northwestern ahead of Nebraska? Come on, Adam. Really? Really? I mean, even if they would beat Nebraska, they can't win enough games to be number two in the conference. So there you go. Irish Ken has rolled in here, so let's do that, and then we're going to get to our Husker roundtable. Well, I feel like a citizen of Mudville. Irish simply got whipped. To some degree, it was a case of been there, done that for Alabama. To run the risk of sour grapes, I will say that USC was all world a few years ago until the NCAA caught up with them. Time will tell with Alabama. What are you saying, Ken? You saying they cheating? Come on. Come on. No. Doug and Daddy's show. Andy from Midway rolls on in here. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. ThinkMidway.com. And Andy, 2012 is in the books. 2013 on the lot. There's still 2012s available, but a great year in 2012. I know that's what makes you guys number one with customer satisfaction, and that's what keeps them coming back for more. And you're already off and running here in 2013.
Yeah, it is. It's quite the deal. You know, it's funny because you can ask anybody that works out there. I always try and relay everything back to sports terminology so that way I can understand. If we could just figure out how to get like a financial statement look like a box score, I'd be 100% in. But no, it is. You know, you start thinking about, there is no downtime in our industry. You know, it'd be great to say we go 9 months gung-ho and then we take 3 months off and recruiting and we got to do a lot of training and work on it. That's just not the reality, you know. And what has happened is the manufacturers have come out, and, you know, even though it's already January and, you know, it's, you know, the first month of the big year, they've got out and got stupid aggressive on some stuff out here, you know, and we still actually have those 2012 urea-free diesels. They're actually still coming into this day. Chrysler did that. The biggest reason being is the government was the one that said, hey, you have to put this urea system on there. And so what they did is they said, okay, well, perfect. We'll just build, you know, non-urea diesels up until, you know, 12 o'clock at night on the last day. And literally, folks, that's what they've done. So we have a lot of three-quarter ton, one-ton 2012 diesels coming in. 2013 Dodge Rams, absolutely gorgeous vehicle. They actually came out with some more money, some more dough on those. The great part about that is, you know, Chrysler's awful proud of this vehicle. It's got the four-corner suspension. It also has the 8.4-inch touchscreen with the brand-new backup system.
The good stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, it's completely – I mean, it's unbelievable how much this vehicle's changed, and they've really stepped up the rebates because they understand the consumers are very price-conscious. They don't want to spend more money than they have to. So they've actually got some huge discounts on those right now. And then the biggest thing that we've seen is, it's kind of fitting, you know, considering it's supposed to be in the mid-40s this week, the Chrysler 200 and the Dodge Avengers, they've came out with some serious dough on those also. You're talking over $4,000 on hassle-free pricing discounts with those vehicles on certain models. And the nice part is you're talking about a 2013 Chrysler 200 where you can go ahead and if it's $23,000, $22,000, you're talking about being able to get in these things for $18,000, $19,000, which is great for the simple fact that it's nice to have that peace of mind on a new vehicle. You get that 3- or 36,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty, 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain, and that means a lot to somebody because it's like I always tell people. I said, you know, if a $300 a month payment is important to you right now, then if you have a $1,200 accident that happens and you got to fix something, that's like having to make 5 payments in 1 month. But when you buy a new vehicle, you get that peace of mind so you can be sure that, hey, if you can only afford $300, let's just make sure at least for the first 3 years or 5 years, we're just going to keep it right there. But no, we got the Omaha Auto Show. It's actually at the Quest Center. It's coming up here in a couple weekends out there in Omaha. Always a big time for us. Chrysler stepped up to the plate for the first half of this month. I can't promise it's going to be there in the second half. They actually have $500 extra of Omaha Auto bonus cash out there for the new Rams and stuff. So the nice part is that they're acknowledging that a lot of other manufacturers go ahead and put some bonuses, some extra incentive money out, especially when there's this big buzz going around about the new Ram. And the nice part is right now we have that figured into our hassle-free price. It's a phenomenal deal. Folks, if you have only heard about the new 2013 Ram, I challenge you to get down to Midway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram and just take a look at it for yourself, because I've driven 11, I've driven a 12, and I'll tell you what, it's very hard for me not to pull the trigger yet on a 13, but it might be happening sooner than later.
Folks, make sure you do it. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. You can also stop by the Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac store, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, always at thinkmidway.com. Have a great day, Andy.
Hey, you too. Thanks, Doug.
We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. Businesses from startups to Fortune 500 share a common trait. They're intentional. They focus on success and don't get distracted. They share another success trait as well. Many choose to work from a Regis office. Your beautifully furnished, wired Regis office can be ready when you need it and includes a receptionist, access to meeting rooms, and a state-of-the-art video conferencing, all with no long-term lease. None. Mention me when you call, get 2 months free. Regis, the new way to work. Call 1-800-OFFICES, 1-800-OFFICES.
Showtime's House of Lies returns with Golden Globe nominee Don Cheadle as Marty Khan.
The big dog to impress them with his fancy ideas.
And in his line of work,
making a fat old check disappear in our pockets.
Ta-da!
Talk is definitely not cheap.
I just want you to jump on that rocket ship and take it all the way to planet Ka-ching.
I love this job.
It's the season premiere of House of Lies. Sunday night at 10, 9 central, following the season premiere of Shameless, only on Showtime, part of Showtime's free preview weekend.
Are you looking for affordable, high-speed internet? Then Arcom has the service you're looking for. Whether you're in town or rural, Arcom can offer you high-speed internet for only $25 a month. That's right, just $25 a month. Get all your online needs met before the Christmas rush. Don't wait. Call today, 308-237-7266. That's Arcom for just $25 a month. Call today and get free installation. Arcom, 308-237-7266. Call now.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us for today's Doug and Daddy Show, Husker Roundtable Edition. And as John reminds me, as we know, Nebraska doesn't play Ohio State in 2013 unless both teams make the championship game. He says Braxton Miller goes down with an injury like Burkhead did this year. Nice prediction, John. Let's predict injuries. That'll be awesome. Oh, you think that'll help Nebraska? Let's root for Ohio State to get injured. Yikes. We went to really bad places right there. Folks, don't forget to vote on our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. How many wins will the Huskers have next year? 11 or more? 9 or 10, 7 or 8, or God forbid, will it be worse? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. A lot of high expectations coming off this 10-4 season. And we are pleased once again, as we do at the start of the year and the end of the year, we welcome in some of the top gurus. In fact, we like to think they're the top three in the state. Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star, Sean Callahan of Husker Online, and Mike Babcock from Hale Varsity. And gentlemen, good morning. Thanks again for taking some time out of your day for this high-paying Husker Roundtable. Great to see you guys.
Morning. Good morning. I got to earn my money here.
Well, let's start. Steve, I want to start with you. You've got a vote in the AP. You've got the poll. You always put the poll up on Husker Extra. You had Nebraska 24th. You put Notre Dame second. Was it hard to do a final poll yesterday for you?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's always a challenge at the bottom. I mean, I always find the bottom to be much tougher. I mean, let's face it. I mean, is Nebraska – I mean, who's better, Nebraska or Northern Illinois? I haven't seen Northern Illinois play. Vandy, is Nebraska better than Vanderbilt? I don't know. You're making some tough decisions. I put Nebraska 24. Notre Dame I have at number two, which I guess raises eyebrows. But, I mean, I put a high, heavy premium on being there. And if you stack Notre Dame and Ohio State next to each other, Notre Dame's season was more impressive. And, I mean, you just got to look at the results. I mean, I think people with that loss last night, they forget that Notre Dame beat Michigan State bad at Michigan State. They hammered a good Miami team 41-3. They beat Stanford. They beat OU bad in Norman. And, yeah, they did squeak past Purdue. But by the way, so did Ohio State. And Ohio State squeaked by Cal. And Ohio State squeaked by UAB. And 49 put Indiana put 49 on Ohio State. So I don't know. The Ohio State argument doesn't really wash with me.
Looking this morning, and I'll address this to you, Mike Babcock, USA Today, as we always know, the day after we got to look ahead to next year, USA Today has Nebraska ranked 10th going into next season, and has only Ohio State out of the Big Ten ahead of them, doesn't even have Michigan in their top 25. What do you think about Nebraska maybe being as high as 10 going into next year, knowing what we know now?
I would be surprised if I wouldn't put Nebraska in a top 10 conversation right now going into next season, but certainly you just never know. I mean, it's really difficult to make those kind of predictions this far out, you know, to say where Nebraska might go into the season. I certainly think that I don't discount the possibility that Nebraska could be pretty good next year, because I don't, you know, I kind of agree with Sip on this business of where Notre Dame finishes after what happened in the bowl game, because you can say the same thing about Nebraska. The way it finished those last two games for Nebraska weren't too impressive defensively when you consider the number of points in the yardage, but by the same token, there were games of substance like that during the season. You know, Kansas State going to Baylor and giving up 580 yards and 52 points, and Oklahoma in a bowl game giving up over 600 yards, almost 700 yards, I think, of offense. So good teams got torched at times. But I don't think that you necessarily downgrade them too much for that. So 10th, it seems high to me, but I don't discount the possibility given Nebraska's schedule and the guys that are coming back on offense and the fact that you have a three-year experienced starter at quarterback.
Over the next month, obviously, we'll be really hearing more about the grade of everybody's recruiting class, which everybody seems to really like to follow right now. Rivals has Nebraska's class at this moment at 28. I've seen them as high as number 12, which I think is way too high. I've seen them lower than 28 as well. Sean, a lot of people think that there's just, at some positions, not enough talent to compete at the next level, and that's why Nebraska has problems keeping games close against an Ohio State or Wisconsin, or even maybe getting lit up by Georgia a couple of times. Your thoughts right now where Nebraska's recruiting class is and what they really have to address before the signing day?
Well, I think the class will have a good chance to push into the top 20. I think they're going to probably get Terrell Newby on Wednesday. He's the number one ranked running back in the state of California, a Rivals top 100 player. I believe we have him 67th in the top 100. But, yeah, I wouldn't call them the number 12 ranked class by any means. I think we have them about right, maybe a little low, but not much. I mean, I don't see them any lower than 25 or in that range right now. But I think they got two good defensive tackles for the future this weekend, and Kevin Maurice and Malik Collins. They're not going to be guys that will play right away, but that was key to get those guys. But I still think they need to try to get a junior college defensive tackle and maybe one more good defensive end for the future to go with that class. And then I think one more offensive tackle is needed right now, and a junior college tight end. And they're going to be bringing in James Vandenberg, a tight end out of California, and he's a guy, Vandenberg, that could be right below Bo Sandlin as probably the number two ranked junior college tight end. It's supposed to be his first of four visits, though, this month, so that will be interesting to see if he'll take all four visits or if maybe a team like Nebraska can woo him enough this weekend to commit on the spot. But he'll be visiting Arkansas and Tennessee and a few others here before he makes a decision. But I think this is a good class right now, but they need to finish it out with some of those need positions, and I do think there's a good chance it could be in the top 20.
Sean Callahan, Steve Sippel, and Mike Babcock with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, our Husker Roundtable. We've got a few emails to ask you guys as well. Larry says, with the Alabama convincing win last night and with Georgia's near win against Alabama, he says, does this elevate Nebraska? I guess he wants to know, does this make Nebraska look better? And I guess this just puts us, everybody has their opinion, and you guys write and talk about it all the time. But Sean, we'll start with you and then go to Sip and Mike. I guess just your thought on Nebraska's football season as a whole and where you see Nebraska at here on January 8th. Sean?
It was a good season. It obviously didn't have the ending you'd want, but if I would have told you, I think in our roundtable in August, if I would have said, hey, Doug, Nebraska would be without Rex Burkhead for really the entire season, and they would still go 7-1 in the Big Ten, they would still win 10 games. And by the way, with Rex Burkhead, this was a team that was picked third in the division, probably projected to win 8 games, maybe 9 by most national projectors. I think a lot of people would have been like, wow, that'd be a pretty good season. But I just still think the ending in the bad losses are what make this season sting. The Big Ten title game, particularly, obviously the Ohio State game, those two are the ones that really sting when you look at the season. I thought they played well in the bowl game, considering the injuries they were battling on the lines with Baker Steinkuhler not being available to play and then Justin Jackson not playing. I thought they were right there with an elite team. If they beat Georgia or, win that game, you're talking about this season having a whole different feeling. And that Amir Abdullah fumble, if that doesn't happen, who knows how that game turns, as Nebraska looked like they were getting ready to score again to retake the lead there before that fumble. But it wasn't a it's hard to really read this. I don't think anyone thought this was a team that was going to win the conference championship to start the year. I didn't read one preseason prediction from a local guy or national guy that said this was a team that was going to win the Big Ten. I think this season was really about on par what a lot of people thought it could be.
Sip, your thoughts?
Yeah, Sean makes a good point. It's kind of funny. Nobody picks Nebraska to win, but then when they don't win, everybody's up in arms. it's a hard season to make a final judgment on. The thing I look at that I hope doesn't get lost is 7-1 in the Big Ten. That's a very good record in that league, which I believe, I know the league takes its shots and all that. I think the league is tough, and it's hard to go through that grind. And then the other thing I'd say is I think Nebraska probably came close to maxing out. I know what happened in Indianapolis, and I know what happened against UCLA and et cetera, but, we said going in, I think we talked about it ad nauseum, They don't have any explosiveness on defense. They don't have that big-time player. They don't have the eraser. They got a lot of, it's a good, strong group of seniors, you know, eight guys on the field a lot of the time. But it's not a fast defense, not explosive, no big-time players. But I think they got a lot out of those guys. And you know, I guess that now we're going to see if Bo is right, if they are going to bring some explosive guys out there. And if those guys aren't as explosive as he seems to think, you know, maybe we are looking at a top 10 team next year because the offense is certainly that caliber.
Mike, Sip said it right on the hit it right on the head. Nebraska wasn't. We talked about at the beginning of the year. Nobody thinks that this is a national championship caliber football team, and everybody's hoping that they can get to the Big Ten championship game. But when Nebraska doesn't win it, it's like the world comes to an end. I it sickens me at some point that Husker fans seems to be getting worse every year about what they are expecting when you look at the broad specter of college football and you see what happens to Oklahoma. I mean, you see these teams that had higher expectations that couldn't go to those. USC, number one. I mean, imagine if Nebraska was number one and went 7-6. The state would burn down. Where are we at with Husker fan? And again, your kind of thoughts on the Husker season.
Well, you know, I think there's a tension between expectations and what happens. And so it's difficult because you want the fans to have high expectations. You want those high expectations among the coaches, which we have. And Bo Pelini talked about, you know, winning championships. That's what he's all about, and that's the goal. And that, you know, I think the fans should encourage that. But then, you know, how it comes across then is the problem. Not so much the expectations, but how it's expressed by people. And you know, I agree with both Sean and Sip. I mean, the bottom line is Nebraska won 10 games, and you look at there were some those comeback victories and the Nebraska's resilience there, and I thought the bowl game reflected that resilience as well. I mean, you just come off of a devastating Big Ten championship game, and I thought that you know, Nebraska went toe to toe with Georgia there, and going into the fourth quarter, you still feel like Nebraska has a chance. So you got to feel good about the resilience of the team, and as Sip pointed out, I think that that team probably maximizes potential in a lot of ways. But again, I look at it as it's 10 wins. That's the thing. It's 10 wins. You can't discount the fact that Nebraska came back and did a great job in getting those 10 victories. But you know, expectation on the surface, you look at the last two games, always. What have you done for me recently? And you got those last two games there, the amount of points and yardage that were given up. But I still think that you got to feel good about 10 victories, a 10-victory season. It's not easy in this day and age to do that. And so the big thing for me is just the tension between expectations, which I want fans to have, which I would want, obviously, the team to have. But it's just how you go about expressing those expectations. You want to hold them to a high level, but I don't think you want to go off the deep end when you had a team that won 10 games and was as resilient as this one was.
Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan joining me, Doug Duda, here on the Doug and Daddy Show today, our Husker Roundtable. Mike, let's call you on the table here because we all make predictions, so I want to know a little bit more, folks. If you follow Hail Varsity and go to hailvarsity.com, they've already put up their thoughts for next year. Mike, you have Nebraska, and shame on you for making us go to the Capital One Bowl again, but you say 10-3. A lot of people believe Nebraska's schedule is too easy to go 10-3. Where are those? You've got Michigan and Ohio State in the championship game, so Michigan's one of the losses. Where else does Nebraska have trouble?
Well, you know, and you never know who you're going to get matched against in a bowl game. So that might be one of my three losses right there, because again, you just don't know who you're going to play in a bowl game. You don't know what your attitude is going to be, how you're going to respond. And I thought Nebraska responded pretty well this year in the Capital One Bowl. I've got that other loss in there because I just think that this, you know, each of the seasons that Bo's been coach, there's been, you know, maybe a game where it kind of leaves me scratching my head a little bit. And so I think there might be one of those in there. I don't know whether whether Nebraska goes to Penn State and has a problem there, or whether it's one of the one of the early games where you just get blindsided and you don't think that that's going to happen. I mean, realistically, you look at it, obviously, the schedule says that probably Nebraska's going to Michigan game maybe undefeated. And so I went back and forth on that. I think it's very possible that Nebraska could win 11 games. I said 10, pretty much that wild card thing, that there's always something that happens that leaves me scratching my head a little bit. But I think that I think it wouldn't be unrealistic to see that Nebraska would be in the Big Ten championship game. I'm just thinking that that Michigan will probably be there.
Let's look ahead. I know what bothers Nebraska fans. It's not losing. It's getting blown out. Sean, what concerns you about Nebraska football right now?
Yeah, I think that would be the biggest thing is the when you get on, you don't get too many chances on the big stage, and when you get them, you have to take advantage of them. And when Nebraska's had those opportunities, whether it's been Ohio State or Georgia or Wisconsin, they haven't been able to take advantage of those. And not only do they get beat, you take a step back in the nature of how you lost that game with the national perception of the program, and you kind of become a punchline with the way the defense had played this year, with the missed tackles and the yardage that they were giving up in those losses. I mean, that's the thing that probably is the hardest thing to swallow, I think, if you're a Nebraska fan, is when Lee Corso and those guys are looking at your highlight and they're showing all the missed tackles. That's what you have to get away from. If you lose these games, you got to lose with some dignity and some pride, and lose by a field goal at the last second instead of getting beat 70-31. I think that's what has to change going forward. And with the way the schedule sets up next year, there really shouldn't be one of those games where they get blown out. I mean, Michigan will be a good team in Ann Arbor, but I don't see a team on that 12-game regular season schedule that should be able to blow Nebraska out like they have lost some of these games this past year. With five home games in a row, they don't travel on the road until the seventh week of the regular season. I mean, it is gift wrapped for Bo Pelini to have a good year next year, to build some early momentum and let that offense get rolling, and then try to get that defense shaped for the future as they get ready to go on the road for the Big Ten.
By the way, folks, looking at the schedule next year, Nebraska does have two bye weeks built in there. They're going to play two games, Illinois and Purdue, in 1 month's time. They've got a bye before Illinois, and then they've got a bye between Purdue and Minnesota. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, with us here on our Husker Roundtable. Sip's so close to Coach Pelini that they go on vacation together. Sip, what's it going to take to get over the hump? What's he saying? What do you think?
What's it take to get over the hump? I mean, obviously, the front seven, and particularly the interior of the defensive line, has got, they got to shore that up. I mean, they're going into Georgia with Cameron Meredith playing there, 255 pounds, and Thad Randall on one leg, and Chase Rome with one arm, and still having a chance to win that game really speaks to the level of effort those guys gave, but it also speaks to the fact that Nebraska didn't have enough firepower in that interior line, and I think they will be better up there. I mean, I think they could move a guy or two. Thad Randall's knee could get better. Maybe there's some help from someone I'm not talking about, but that's what I'd say. And those young guys that Bo talks about are going to have to, they got to start about right now in the playbook and learning what it takes to play it in the Big Ten level, at a Big Ten level. I mean, those guys, the learning curve is gonna be very steep. And I don't think it starts in early March. I think it has to start right now.
Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock, and Sean Callahan with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, our annual Husker Roundtable. Sip, your thoughts on Coach Pelini now through 5 years. As everybody knows, you know him a little more personally than some of most of the media that covers him. Just your thoughts on how he's doing. A lot of people think, well, he's gaining more experience, he's maturing, he's doing some right things. Then you've got some boneheads out there that are on the chat board saying we need a new football coach. So your thoughts.
Well, real fast, that's what I really like what Mike said. I hadn't heard it put the way he put it, in that the expectations for this program are good. I mean, I think you got to have high expectations, and I don't think Nebraska should ever back off that. But
it is how they're expressed that can be troubling, and that is one way it manifests itself, the way you mentioned, which is, you know, call for heads, be it Bose or Chompa Pouches or Barney Cottons. To finish 7-1 in that league, and, you know, like Mike said, win 10 games overall, and then push Georgia in the bowl game, and then call for guys' jobs it's repulsive to me. And maybe it's just a part of the fan base that is, you know, very much in the minority. I hope that's the case. As far as Bo goes, I mean, the things that really, as an alum, you know, and as just a sports fan and a fan, period, that I really admire, things that most people I don't think care about, especially younger people, and that's the fact that you don't see any off-field issues hardly at all. I mean, nothing's hardly of note for some time. I don't want to jinx it, but and then you don't have to worry about them with the NCAA as long as Bo's there. And then, you know, the fact that they got a 3.1 GPA, and people can kind of thumb their nose at all that. But I really believe in what Bo says, and that if you're taking care of business away from the field, you got a better chance to take care of it on the field. And I don't think Nebraska's far away, and I don't think it's crazy to say that. I mean, I think they were worn out against Wisconsin. They got rejuvenated and played a good bowl game. I think they are definitely a top 25 team next year. And with that schedule, as you guys have pointed out, they could get to 8-0 real fast, and then you are looking probably at a top 10 team.
Well, let's put it on the line, because this is what Husker fan wants to know. With a fourth-year starting quarterback coming back, yes, they lose Rex Burkhead, and Sean, we'll start with you here. They lose Rex. You're going to need some folks at a variety of positions, and you guys can tell us more than I can. You're going to have everybody back on the coaching staff except for a grad assistant. So for the first time, I believe, under Bo, you're actually going to have the continuity for 2 years in a row. Still everybody on the staff. Bo will be his sixth year, and everybody else will be less than that. And then you look at the schedule. Shouldn't Husker fan feel pretty good about next year, Sean? Shouldn't this be the most calm waters that Coach Politi has had entering a season?
Yeah, there's a lot of unknown still. You don't know what Penn State's going to look like reloaded. I mean, with all the guys they lost.
Are you doing
that? That should be a game you win on the road, I still feel.
I'll be back. I'll be back 12:30.
They return that running back, Zwinek. But, you know, I think if they can win that UCLA game early, the key will be starting off 4-0 in the non-conference. And then you can get that momentum with those early conference games before you go to Michigan. But I think if they can go 4-0 in the non-conference, they're going to be in a very good position to at least get a BCS at large, with that record. That's kind of loomed Nebraska. This year, if they would have beat UCLA and gone 11-1 in the regular season, they would have maybe got that BCS at large spot. Well, I think they're going to at least have a good chance to be in that conversation this year, even if they don't win the Big Ten title game. The question, too, will be how good will Michigan be? If Nebraska loses to Michigan but wins the rest of their Big Ten games, will Michigan be good enough to win out? It's hard to know what this league's going to look like top to bottom. A lot of teams lost a lot of good players in the NFL. Michigan State particularly has lost a lot of key underclassmen. But I see no reason why this can't be an 11-1, 10-2 type year with another appearance in Indianapolis with a chance to play Ohio State.
Mike, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I kind of agree with Sean, and like I said earlier, there's probably going to be a game in my estimation will kind of leave you scratching your head a little bit, you know, what happened there. But, that's not unique to Nebraska. That's unique, you know, everybody has those situations where you kind of come out and think, how did that happen? But I think that, as Sip said earlier about the defensive line, I think that the important thing for me going into this season is, how are they going to perform on the defensive line? How are they going to perform on the offensive line? Can you get the job done up front? That's where everything starts. And, Rex Burkhead is gone, but Amir Abdullah rushed for over 1,000 yards. I mean, they've got offensive weapons in addition to the extremely experienced quarterback. So I think there's no reason to be pessimistic about this season, obviously. I think Nebraska is going to be definite factor in the Big Ten race. And if if you get to the Big Ten championship thing, anything can happen. So I think that I look forward to it. I mean, I think that there's no reason to be pessimistic about what Nebraska might be able to accomplish.
Sip, I've got a couple of emails here that, are specific to positions and, are our tackles that bad? Are we going to have no linebackers? I guess, do you see any X and O changes for Nebraska's coaching staff next year, some schemes that they're going to try and do differently, or do you like where they're at?
Well, no, you think about it, offensively, I wouldn't change much. I mean, they're a top 25 offense, and it's a good offense. Ken's going to probably – they're always going to alter something. They're going to tinker around with it. But to make any really significant changes, I would hope not. I don't understand why they would. Defense, Bo likes that system now. I mean, that's his system. And it's what he's always done, and he believes in it. And I think he still believes it. I know he still believes it. So, I don't think you'll see anything major. We might be able to pick out a few things, but I don't think so. I don't know that, and I don't know that even the coaches know it right now. That's the kind of stuff they'll get into after signing day. I don't anticipate anything major. I don't anticipate changes X's and O's wise that I could pick out.
Let's wrap it up with this. We've kind of covered, I hope, about everything that we could here with Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock, and Steve Sipple. You guys are so ingrained. Anybody that covers the Huskers are so there for the time that it all starts till the time that it's over, and now everybody tries to get a little bit of vacation. Sip, was there a player, was there a story, was there kind of a neat aside that you never got a chance to write about or publish that maybe the fans would enjoy from a player that is up and coming, or just something that maybe the general fan doesn't know about?
It's putting me on the spot. I thought Amir Abdullah's rise was something that maybe, I don't know, I think people appreciate it, but who would have guessed that Amir Abdullah would run for 1,000 yards this year, 1,137. I guess that would be one thing that I thought was a big part of that season. And I think the other thing we talked about it, but how good are those young guys? How good is Thomas Brown? I mean, I didn't know till late in the year that they were getting Thomas Brown ready to play against UCLA. And then on that Monday of game week, he hurt his ankle really on about the first play of the week or second play of the week. So those are the kind of things that float through my brain, is how the season maybe could have been different if a guy like that gave him a little more explosion. But that would be about it off the top of my head.
Oh, you know what? I feel so much better because after 7 years, we finally got into Steve Sipple's brain, and that's what I wanted to do. Mike, anything? Anything that stuck out with you?
Yeah, I'm still taking notes here, but it's not something that we didn't write about, but for me, it's one of the stories of the season was Justin Jackson. I mean, there's a guy that walked on.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in – you talk about anonymous. There's an anonymous guy. He walks on. He's a defensive guy. He comes on. He's a team guy. He seems to have a lot of respect of his teammates before he ever really steps on the field. And he steps in there at center, and he gets a job done as a starting center. And so I think that to me – I've been doing this a long time, and those walk-on guys, the commitment that those guys have, and a lot of times you don't even know their names because they never really get on the field, or they really never get beyond maybe playing on special teams or something. But to have a guy like that, Justin Jackson, to do what he did, to hang in there and to believe in himself and to be successful, I thought that was one of the stories of the season for me. And, it had a very unpleasant ending because he didn't he got hurt and wasn't able to finish out, but I think that says a lot about, for me, that's what Nebraska football is all about.
Sean, what about you?
I guess for me, what I took away interesting from this season is just the growth of Taylor Martinez each week. And, you know, even I think by the end of the year this year at the bowl site, just interviewing and talking to Taylor, I mean, he's a completely different guy than he was even at the start of the year and obviously the last 2 years before that. This guy has grown up so much and taken on so much and embraced his role. And, you know, I think he handles it pretty well. I mean, I don't know of anybody that could have handled the amount of criticism that that kid has gone through and still continue to keep the same level-headed approach. And I was talking to Taylor's dad, Casey, at the bowl game, and I said, how do you get Taylor mad? And he goes, you can't. The kid doesn't ever get mad. He doesn't really lose his cool very often. And after the bowl game, he was talking, and I thought he gave one of the best interviews he's ever given after the bowl game loss. And I think you've just really seen this kid grow and become a leader. And, you know, I know 2 years ago a lot of people wanted to run him out of town by the end of that freshman season, but I think he's withstood the storm, and he's going to be poised to have a really big senior season.
Sportsbook.com came out with their Heisman Trophy list over the weekend for next year. Taylor was 15th on the list at 25-1. You think he can be in New York next year, Sean?
You know, Nebraska's got to win a lot of games. I mean, there's going to be some good quarterbacks returning, and Braxton Miller and Teddy Bridgewater at Louisville. I'm probably forgetting a few others. So there's, you know, Johnny Manziel. I mean, obviously. So it's going to be tough competition for him to get to New York. But if Nebraska wins big and has a good year, and he has a good year, there's no doubt that he'll have a shot to be there.
Guys, we'll send you off to lunch with that. Always appreciate the time you give us on the Doug and Daddy Show throughout the year. Enjoy a couple of days off before it's signing day and spring football right around the corner. Thanks so much, and Happy New Year to all of you.
Thanks, guys.
Happy New Year.
Take care. Mike Babcock, Hail Varsity, Steve Sippel, Lincoln Journal Star, Sean Callahan, HuskerOnline.com. You can follow them online. You can, of course, follow them a variety of places when you're in Lincoln. And if you're from that part of the state, of course, check out the Journal Star as well. You see Sean on the tube and so much more. Always appreciate having the guys with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as our Husker Roundtable. What do you think, folks? Agree with anything, disagree with anything strongly, send us an email, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, or you can give us a buzz at 888-455-ESPN. Facebook us. We'll be right back.
When it comes to Husker game day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's Journal, the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Have a great bite to eat, drink the coldest draft beer in town, and most importantly, watch the Husker game on the huge 10-foot projector screen. This year, every time you come for the game, you can register to win a 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and the Coors Light Super Bowl party from Cunningham's. If you win, could I come? Anyways, escape ordinary and head to Cunningham's Journal on game day, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
As the NFL comes to an end, all roads lead to the Big Easy and the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, home of Super Bowl 47. Let's take a look back on some of the past matchups. In 1990, the 49ers and Joe Montana rolled over John Elway's Denver Broncos. On February 3rd, 2013, all eyes will be on the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. And the final question will be, who will prevail? Road to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome is sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. Experience one today at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer.
Wendy's presents The Copycat.
Hey there.
Hey there.
So glad it's lunchtime.
So glad it's lunchtime.
Yeah, trying to save a few bucks.
Yeah, trying to save a few bucks.
So I went to Wendy's for their right price, right size menu.
So I went to, well, somewhere else.
Got a junior bacon cheeseburger, a side of chili, and a Frosty.
Got a, well, cheeseburger.
Value menus are not the same. Wendy's new right price, right size lineup has big tastes, starting at just 99 cents.
Now that's better.
Prices and
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some patchy fog around yet early on today. Otherwise, looking at a mix of clouds and sun to develop. With a high of 43, winds out of the west will turn gusty at times, around 10 to 20. Tonight, we'll head back to a low of 14. I'm Paul Trombley.
Right now, it's 21.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. As we mentioned before the roundtable, don't forget to vote on our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com yesterday. How did the Nebraska football team fare this year, in your opinion? Well, 75% of you said okay, the program stayed the same. 21% said great, the program took a step forward. And only 4% said bad, the program regressed. So that's where you, the listeners, think the Husker program is. Today's poll question, how many wins will Nebraska have next season? Vote online at ESPNSuperstation.com. Congratulations, our winners. Man, I tell you what, if you're going to go to the tiebreaker, you just as well hit it right on the nose. And Eldon at 18-7. Is our Doug and Daddy Bowl Bonanza champion and will receive the Toshiba television from our friends at Russell's Appliance and Electronics. Congratulations. We're valued at over $300. Russell's Appliance and Electronics, thank them, as well as our friends from Big Daddy's Deli, two locations in Hastings, also at the top of the hill in Kearney. We'll be sending out certificates for the Big Daddy Deli combo meals, and had another one of those over the weekend. Number 48. I went with that. A little turkey, a little bacon. How can you go wrong with bacon and turkey? A little hard salami on there. Put all your toppings on there. It's so great. Brent, well, he came in second. You said he sent us an email? That's a heck of a deal there, Brent. He says, first, I must say congratulations to Eldon. Well played and picked. Kent State and Notre Dame's defense was my undoing, but I will still be happy all year because Irish Ken is crying in his milk again. At least now we can focus on signing day and Doug's favorite sport, NASCAR. Oh, yeah, the Masters. Have a great day, guys, and keep up the awesome entertainment. Brent, thank you so much. And you know what? Maybe we'll put a little extra in your Christmas stocking as well, because 18-7, and then just a whole host, what was it, about 10 guys and gals went 17-8. For a tie for 3rd through 12th, so that would be a heck of a job by the gang there. And a few folks went 16-9, and then Sean, wow, you finished dead last. Good job, buddy. You will be getting a chunk of coal, and I think we got like an old Mississippi State program around here, and we'll throw that in as well for Sean. But we'll be in touch about how to get your prizes and some of those going out in the mail as well. Thanks, everybody, for participating in our local contest with all of our co-hosts and myself and Jeff and Merritt, our producers. It was over early. Jimmy Langan, 17-8 is what he ends up going. That would have been second overall in that big old tie. So he got 17. And Jeffrey, good job, producer. He got 14. I was below 500 for the first time this year. I did not do well in my selections. I went Big Ten heavy, and that was a mistake. We'll take a break, wrap up the Doug and Daddy show after this.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We get a lot of tweets from folks that sound just like this. Jay, I bought my home in 2007. Since then, it's gone down in value. Now I owe more on my mortgage than my home is worth. Can I refinance? The answer may very well be yes. Recently, the government announced changes that may allow folks to refinance even if their home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you. Or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, you've got to give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states.
Doug and Daddy Show. Doug and Daddy Show Tuesday. That means Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. We usually do that right at the end of the program. We're going to do that again today here on the program. So get ready at 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can call now. If you've not won in the last 2 months, then this is your chance to get a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend. Oh, don't just because all the great holidays of eating and enjoying, they still got really good. If you're on the health kick, they can take care of you there. They got the fresh frozen seafood, and of course, only the top steaks, ground beef. It's healthy and it's great for you. And just because Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and the bowl season is over doesn't mean you quit eating. Are you kidding me, people? Are you kidding me? We've still got the NFL playoffs to get through, and the Super Bowl is right around the corner. Whether you need a meat and cheese tray to take over, or whether you just need to pick up some good quality steaks or chops, or, of course, fresh from the smokehouse sausages, they've got them there for you at Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. And let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
This is Ron.
Ron, how many times has an SEC team lost the BCS National Championship game?
None.
None is incorrect. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Jason.
Jason, who won the first ever BCS National Championship game?
South Carolina.
Not South Carolina. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
This is Sean.
Sean, boy, you sound like you're really smart and you're going to get this right. That's what.
Oh, man, I know both of the questions you just asked.
Well, that's why you don't get either one of those. That's why you don't get either one of those.
Now, my goodness.
The BCS has been played, you know, for quite a few years here now. Which team scored the fewest points in a BCS game?
The fewest points ever in any BCS game.
In the national championship.
Not a winner, but just any.
Who had the fewest points ever in the BCS national championship game?
Well, LSU got shut out last year. I'll say zero.
That is correct. Gosh, see, you're just too smart. You want to tell everybody the other answers?
Let's see. Well, LSU lost last year, so there's your one SEC loss.
That's correct.
I believe Tennessee with T. Martin won it in the first BCS championship game.
That is exactly right. Just for knowing the Tennessee, that was smart enough. Hey, hang on the line. Jeff will get you set up, and congratulations. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Doug.
888-455-ESPN. That is the number that always gets you into the Doug and Daddy Show and any of our contests. Don't forget, if you can't listen to the show or you just happen to miss one or you want to re-listen to our Husker Roundtable or any of the interviews, you can check out our podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal in the Loft. It's at ESPNSuperstation.com. While you're at ESPNSuperstation.com, you can listen to the podcast. You can vote on our poll question. You can like us on Facebook. You get updates on all the activities and the sports that we cover and carry here on ESPN. Plus, we'll let you know who's going to be on the show, who was on the show, all kinds of information for you there as well at ESPNSuperstation.com. I think that wraps things up. Let's get on out of here for today's show. Folks, hope you enjoyed it. Hope you have a little confidence in Big Red. I think really there's going to be more confidence depending on where this recruiting class and where the new guys are, the guys that have to step into roles and play significant minutes or be your new starters for next year. I know a lot of people think there are some great players in the wings, and with this schedule, as long as Nebraska stays healthy, this could be a magical season. And of course, there will still be the naysayers out there that will find any reason to bring down what they say is their favorite football team. But we don't have to worry about that until August 31st when Nebraska hosts Wyoming at Memorial Stadium with everything open and all the new seating. It'll be awesome. And speaking of awesome, we want to thank our awesome Husker Roundtable crew today. Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity, Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star, Sean Callahan of Husker Online. Tomorrow, Mark Bauer, our Loper Link, as the Loper wrestlers get ready to go to the national duels, and a whole lot more. Enjoy your Tuesday, everyone.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!